Welcome to The Leaky Nip, a podcast about pens. This is absolutely not suitable for work because swearing is encouraged.
It's like a pen show after dark, but it's a podcast.
I'm Kat Axon.
And I'm John Phelan.
Welcome to episode 6.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is definitely not coffee in here.
Nope, not coffee.
What is this?
It's Sierra Nevada Torpedo.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing it.
In a Yeti.
It stays nice and cool in the studio.
So we don't ruin our podcast with warm beer.
There'd be nothing worse than warm beer.
No. And when these libations run out, so too will our podcast. And we will relocate to another location for further libations.
Wow, that's very official. Did you work on that the whole way here?
Literally, no.
Okay, good. What's new, kid?
Well, I have a lot of things new in my collection and a lot of things new in my life. And so do you. So whose life do we want to talk about first?
First of all, I have to ask you about one thing.
Sure, go ahead.
Backstreet Boys.
Yeah?
Was it good or bad?
Oh my gosh! It was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I want to make so much fun of you, but I know. I get it. 90s child, I get it.
Backstreet Boys have been a band for 23 years. Sorry, 26 years. Excuse me. Since 1993, they are still a band, and they have so many good songs. And I saw them the other evening here in Indianapolis, and it was epic. It was so good. And I forgot, like, NSYNC was the dancing people. Backstreet Boys were the singers. They got a record deal by singing a cappella, five-part harmony,
jeez,
which they continue to do. And you can tell that those guys have been singing together for 26 years. It was so good.
The original band members, too? All of them?
Yeah.
Nice.
Duh. Who is your favorite Backstreet Boy?
I don't have one. I don't even know if I ever owned a Backstreet CD.
I can't with you right now. All right. I know is it was fantastic. I accidentally sat right behind somebody I know from work who was wearing her original t-shirt she bought in 1998 when she saw them on tour.
Oh, boy.
It was fantastic.
We're officially fucking old now, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. We're fucking old as balls. Like, I don't know what that means, but we're super fucking old. Because they're in their 30s and 40s, Backstreet Boys, and you know that they know their market audience because everyone was in their 30s and 40s there because they had toddler stuff to buy for merch.
Oh, my God.
Because we're old.
God, that's great.
I know. It's amazing.
That's so great. Well, I just got back from the San Francisco Pen Show.
And by just got back, you mean?
I mean, it feels like yesterday.
Yeah.
Because pen shows, as we all discuss always, they take a lot out of you. And there's like the recovery period after a pen show.
Totally.
So.
So how does San Francisco hold up compared to all the other shows you've been to this year?
First, what other people told me is it was almost as big as the DC show, which we didn't go to. Mm-hmm. But I heard it was massive. So for me, it was the best show yet. Attendance was massive. It's really growing. Like, I thought it was a big show last year, but it was even bigger this year.
It looked so amazing.
It was so much fun.
Serious FOMO.
So all the big brands were there at the show, and some nib tuners were there as well. Nagahara came. And
so awesome.
He had a huge reception for him. Just a huge line. That was the craziest part. Whenever I got away from the table, I just noticed how many people were waiting to get things from their vendors. So, like, Masubi had a line at the start of the show. Mm-hmm. And we're sold out of the notebook that you got.
Yes.
Mule to you.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
Sold out. Can you tell us a little bit about that thing?
Yep. So, as always, Daryl is innovating and doing cool things. And so he has a new imprint in his brand called Masubi Labs, which is going to be these limited runs of prototype paper that are atypical and maybe not the most fountain print pen friendly, or, you know, something about them is really unique, and he's going to make notebooks out of them, and then that's it. Whatever he makes, he makes. Mm. So his first Labs imprint notebook was a bamboo paper. It's unbleached, and it apparently takes fountain pen ink and watercolors and tons of water and ink like a boss.
Yeah, and it's like new old stock, right?
I don't know where he got the paper. He said that was all the paper he was going to get of it.
Yeah. That was my understanding.
And he was hyping it up online to some of us ahead of time. Lay Reyes had hers previously because she's local to him, relatively speaking. And it just looked epic. And I asked very nicely of some of our wonderful pen friends, and Sandra was able to secure one for me, which I will be picking up from her in Dallas.
Shout out to Sandra, by the way. Thank you for helping us clean up our table on Sunday, and thank you for the sweet treats all weekend. You kept my insulin levels at a proper high, which is exactly what I wanted at a pen show.
She's the bomb. She also managed to snag me a prototype of like the standard paper, but the unique fabrics. It's pink with cats on
it. That's great. That's awesome.
So I was feeling really sad that I was missing out on San Francisco, but I got to see all of your pictures and it looked amazing.
I always wish I had more time to walk around and take a pen show in.
Sure.
Because I like run to the room or run to the restroom, and then I run back to the table.
Yeah.
And I brought Abby with me at the Lady Lemur on Instagram, my lovely girlfriend, help. And even with two of us at two tables, we were swamped and were so busy. But it was just, it's so much fun. The busier the show is, obviously, the better we do. But it's always fun to just meet people who I saw last year who came by and they're like, oh, yeah, I remember you.
Yeah.
And a ton of people came up to us actually and said, hey, I love the podcast.
So awesome.
Like multiple people at the same time were like, hey, Leaky Nib Podcast.
Yeah.
Listen, I love you guys. Where's Kat? I'm like, she's not here. She's not a team player.
That's false. I was working. Thank you.
It's as I said.
I was super sad because
quit your job, Kat.
It actually wasn't the worst thing because y'all are on San Francisco time, which from Indianapolis is minus 3 hours.
Yeah.
And so I was working a stretch of night shifts, which I never work nights. What?
I was making a terrible sound for half of your work nights.
Yeah, it was painful. So I was like, at least awake, I could see you guys all having fun.
It was a ton of fun. I just, every single show, there's always people I want to talk to. And I usually say hey to them a couple times, but I might not actually get a chance to talk at the bar with them because it's just the way it goes.
Right.
So that's the fun thing about pen shows is there's so much to do. If someone's like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to spend 3 days at a pen show, I'm like, no, trust me, you will find a way to spend all that time. What else was cool? There were a bunch of dogs there.
What?
Yeah, so I put a note here saying like dogs at SF, and you're probably like, what the hell is that? I mean, there were like multiple people who brought dogs with them to the show. Like,
that's so
big
rad.
Dogs.
I saw the one named, was his name Oliver?
Yeah, he bought a pen. Yeah, I walked away for a second and Abby sent me a text of Oliver just bought a Twisby Go. I'm like, there you go. It's a perfect
starter pen for dogs.
Yeah. And I got a photo of the dog. I'm like, he's literally at the table buying a pen. All right.
That's awesome. Those owners are rad.
It's fun. There was a baby being carried around who had lemurs on his onesie.
That's amazing.
We slapped a lemuring sticker on him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's totally on brand. I'm here for that.
I got to try a bunch, actually every single nib for
Nakaya?
Yeah, I got to try every single nib for Nakaya at the show. Every single one.
So
back
are you
to
going
back.
With double broad? Or
I'm so torn between double broad and music because I like them thick, like real thick, like whoa, thick lines.
THICC?
Yeah, almost triple C thick. And so I'm torn though because the music nib's
That's
really
what
good.
She said.
I know.
But, take a shot, y'all, if you're listening. Yeah, that's still
take
ongoing.
Take a shot; it's still going. The craziest thing about the there's some really cool stories about the show. Just internally for us, kind of a fun one was that the Namiki Emperor arrived.
Oh yeah, that time you bought like a Namiki Emperor
and a Yukari Royale arrived literally the day before we left.
That's insane.
I didn't get a chance to show it to you.
I know. You were just like, hey, I have an Emperor. And I was like, what?
And it sold that weekend.
Yeah. So rude. I didn't even get to see it.
I have a lot of photos. I'll post them.
Do you still have the Yukari Royale available?
I do. It's really good.
If it wasn't red, I would buy it.
You know, I usually hate things that are red.
It's beautiful.
But it looks, Vermilion Urushi is really fucking pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it a medium and a broad. The broad was going to be for me. I'm considering keeping it.
Are you kidding? John, this is the man who never buys himself anything. He has, like, you know, minimum pens. He, like, puts it all into the brand. Just buy yourself a freaking pen, dude.
Christmas time, maybe.
Well,
someone buy it from me so I don't have to keep it.
No one buy the broad. Let John keep it for his Christmas present. Just buy the medium and it'll pay.
What's crazy is the Yukari is like the size of a Mont Blanc 159, which is not a small pen. Next to an
159?
Right, the big boy.
You mean 149?
149. I don't carry Mont Blanc. I don't know. Whatever.
149.
The big boy Mont Blanc.
Correct.
Is the same size as like a Yukari Royale.
Do you have it?
I don't. I should have brought it with me.
Dang it.
Yeah. I'll bring it to the next podcasting. It's really fucking cool. And then the Emperor next to it makes it look like a joke.
Yeah.
Because it's a number. It's the biggest nib Pilot makes, the number 50 on the Emperor. And it's a fucking eyedropper.
Oh, God.
It's an eyedropper. And they give you the eyedropper kit, the ink, and like it's not a accessory to just have on your desk. They actually want you to write with it. They're psychopaths.
I'm sorry, Japan. They're fantastic.
I love it.
Because that pen is beautiful and you should absolutely write with it.
It's
also
so cool.
My fingers are tingling.
How many, did you take all the acid before you walked in?
No acid, no drugs, John. Gosh. So.
I have to tell you though, we sold the Emperor to this dude. And I was like, I'll sell it to you, but you have to promise me you're actually going to write with it. I was almost like hesitant to sell it because I'm like, he goes, I don't think I'll write with it. I'm like, you have to, man. And he's like, I've written with it and I love it. I'm like, perfect. That's exactly what I wanted.
Oh, that's awesome. And tell me about this art situation that happened because
I'm
a huge fan of Leigh Reyes and a huge fan of Joey Feldman.
And so I met Joey Feldman. Shout out to him. He stopped by our table, and he is a lover of big Mont Blancs with big nibs, so we got along great.
He collects 149s.
Yes, and I got to try a couple, and they're lovely. So on one of the Pen Show After Dark nights, they decided to just randomly, it seemed randomly, to do this big art piece in the hallway. And they're just fucking throwing paint on this thing and drawing. And it's crazy because like I grew up with a musician background. And it's weird to see artists do things outside of what you're used to. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to seeing guys just paint who are like professionals.
Right.
And you've seen someone painting on the side of the road or something. And you're like, that's kind of cool. But actual professionals painting is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of surreal. I'm like, oh, this is really neat. And Daryl from Masubi was like, you know, they're donating this thing to charity.
I would.
Which is really rad.
Kill to be able to buy it. The last, like I heard it was going for a ton of money.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I got carried around the Pen Show overhead.
It was beautiful.
It was funny.
And I love Laypod because she uses bleach in pens to like create negative space in her art, and it's stunning.
It was a big, as far as my very hillbilly understanding of art is that it was a lot of use of negative space of like two things kind of fighting each other left and right.
It was like a very classic Laypod creature and a very classic Joey creature kind of clashing. And it was stunning how well they go together despite their styles being pretty not similar.
Yeah.
They have a lot of similarities.
It worked.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It looked cool.
I'm so jealous you were there. I was like, ugh, fangirling so hard from Indianapolis.
It was just neat because we're all just hanging out and... Yeah.
All of a sudden, somebody's throwing ink.
Yeah, and there's a band playing, and there's like, you know, at least the vendors got drink coupons, so.
It seems to me like.
To drink and hang out.
Is SF like the cool kids show?
It totally is.
Damn it.
I mean, I haven't been to DC yet, so that's like the other big show. But from my understanding, SF, look, it's San Francisco. The weather's perfect. If you want to get there early, you can go to Napa and go to Wine Country or go explore downtown. Which is what I did last year.
I actually think we should do that after.
Next year. Next
so that
year.
I'm not hungover for the entire Pen Show.
It really depends on people's schedules. I mean, Kimberly at All the Hobbies, thank you, by the way, for the Pen Show Uber. She drove us last year to Napa, and I think we went after the show. Or could have been before. I don't fucking remember. It was
wine
too long ago. But no, it's so much fun. I mean, in DC, you can go to DC, but you know,
that's super cool. Well, I'm really glad you had a fun time.
It's so much fun. I mean, every single show, there's always something cool about it. But the best part is just going to these big shows. They're so much fun.
That's awesome. Well, to transition, I would like to just clear something up.
Clarify.
I don't hate all cookies.
I got a lot of like shit thrown my direction for saying I was like a communist and hating cookies and stuff.
I called you a communist. I still stand by this.
I like Girl Scout cookies, specifically Thin Mints and the shortbread ones. I like Ginger Snaps. I am.
Do you like the peanut butter one?
Ew.
Okay, get out.
I don't like peanut butter though.
What?
Oh no.
You just did it again. That's it.
Yeah. I like peanut butter on toast that's warm in the morning. Does that count?
What? No.
Okay. I don't like peanut butter things. Like, I don't like peanut butter cookies. It's fine. Anyway, I like
some cookies. Trying to do damage control, and you are just digging deeper.
I like Oreos. I love Oreos. Extra insides. I like more stuff. Extra stuff. Mega stuff. Less cookie, more stuff. You know, but I don't hate all cookies. I felt the need to clarify that statement.
It's like a politician. You're like, no, I know I said some things in a secret recording about some people, but I want to say that they're all great people. And
I may or may not have put my foot in my mouth, and I want to.
Look, I know a lot of great cookies. I love cookies. I used to be a cookie. One of my kids is a cookie.
Sometimes late at night, I am a cookie.
They're fine people.
Oh my God.
Okay. And also, something came in the mail today, apparently.
Yes.
Would you like mail call?
Would you like to hear my saga of this postal service drama?
Let's start with what country originated and where it went. The whole transition here.
Sure. So I am now the proud owner of a Kasama pen.
And that originates where?
That comes from the Philippines. So if you guys remember when we were talking to Matthew, shout out to Hey Matthew, on one of our most recent episodes.
Our last two episodes.
The last two episodes.
Yes.
Yes, that. He had a Kasama. He had the Una, which is this model that I purchased. And damn it if I didn't fall in love with that thing. I actually wasn't sure how I felt about them from pictures online. I couldn't tell, you know, what size they were, how they were going to feel in the hand. But after he was here and had his, I was like, damn it, I'm going to buy one. And this also happened to Blakemore. Shout out to Blakemore, who came up to join us at the Hoosier Pen Club.
It was so much fun.
We both handled this Kasama and, yeah. So it was really interesting because Blakemore went ahead and messaged Kasama directly on Instagram and said, hey, you know, I want to get one. I was like, oh, I don't know which one I want. And all of a sudden, Mark Bacchus, the nib grinder, has 5 available for sale. I don't know exactly how he worked his magic, but he had 5 available. And before he could even post pictures of the pens, he posted pictures of the little, like, cute packaging they come in. And I messaged him, was like, I see that you have Kasamas. Which ones do you have? I would like to purchase one. And he was like, okay, and sent me a picture back. And I was like, I will have the full titanium one, please. Thank you. How much is it?
It is super hefty, by the way.
It is 87 grams, but a lot of that is in the cap. So I literally just got it after accosting my mailman. So what happened was, you know, this shipped from the Philippines from Kasama, and it went to Mark Bacchus, who then had it, ground it. I bought it from him the day he got it from the Philippines. He put an architect grind on it, and then he actually shipped it to Matthew, because after he was on our show and talked about anodizing, I said, hey, I bought an all-titanium Kasama pen. Will you anodize it for me? He said yes, so he did. He anodized it for me. And
we talked about that in the last one.
We did.
How to anodize.
Well, like the general idea.
The general idea, yeah.
So he actually called me and FaceTimed me and showed me like the process of my pen getting anodized. Cameron repeatedly berated us for being nerds. It's fine. We're nerds. And Cameron is my husband, by the way. And yeah, he made it from a beautiful silver to a blurple.
It's super rad.
Mm-hmm. I will put pictures.
And it's super hefty.
Yep.
So, I mean, those of you looking for like a heavy pen, I mean, not that they're readily available. But
they're not readily available. But Matthew mailed it and he dropped it off at the post office. and nothing happened. No tracking updates. It just said in transit. It missed its delivery date. It's missed its delivery date again and again. And I was, after the Backstreet Boys concert, just like pissed off. And I filed a missing package claim with the Postal Service because it was so delayed, and finally showed up in Indianapolis this morning. So I went to the post office and was like, my package has been missing for days. It's insured for like hundreds of dollars. I need it. And she was like, oh, I can see it. It's here. But like, they have to sort it, so you can't have it. And I was like, what?
Our indie distribution hub is the worst.
Well, this was my local one down in my zip code.
Oh, they had it?
Yeah. She was like, oh, yeah, I can see it's here, but they haven't sorted it yet. So she's like, you'll have it today. So I'm sitting waiting for this thing to get delivered. I'm delaying leaving my house to come to the podcast to get this pen, and it like doesn't deliver. And I was like, I have to leave. So I get in my car and I drive like sketchily around the neighborhood and see the mail truck and like pull over. And I was like, hey, sir, can I bother you? Do you like, are you going to go to Kessler? Like, do you have my package? And he was like,
where's my pen?
And he had it. He had it in the back of his truck. It was like the last package. It was completely empty back there. And so I like grab it on the corner of the street with my car like pulled off all sketchily. Grab it, like unbox it in the car and bring it in. So John's the only other person to see it besides me.
I think unboxing in your car is the best thing ever. When you're like, I got this new pen, and you can't
at
fucking
wait. At the stoplights, I'm just like, ah!
Yeah, don't drive and unbox, people.
No. At the stoplights, I like worked on the plastic, and then eventually, like, by the time I hit Carmel, Indiana, I was into
That's
the box.
That's fantastic. And it has a grind on it, you said?
It does. It has an architect grind.
Excellent.
So it'll be...
I really like it.
It's so
I
cool.
might have to steal that.
No.
Along with your Mont Blanc Beatles.
You cannot.
Those two are like on my hit list.
Those are my heaviest pens and some of my most expensive. So please don't.
Oh, yeah. So the Hoosier Pen Club, you mentioned that. We need to talk about our last meetup because it was a blast.
It was awesome. Why don't you give us a recap, John? They're tired of hearing my voice.
The Hoosier Pen Club, we've talked about this before, but we had a meetup. And we had a huge turnout. It felt like a Pelican Hub-sized amount of people there.
Honestly, I think there were more people at this last Hoosier Pen Club meeting in August than there were at the last Pelican Hub.
I think you're right.
Because it was like 30-something people.
It was a lot of fun.
We had Hey Matthew Morse, as well as Blake Moore and John Albert, who are both from Louisville, Kentucky.
Do you know how... Okay, quick break here. You know how I know you're not from... Indiana, Kentucky area.
What?
How do you say the city that they're from?
Louisville.
Yeah, better. One more time.
You're supposed to say it like you have marbles stuck in your mouth.
And it rhymes with shovel.
Louisville.
Louisville. Louisville.
I modify it because some people say like Louisville, and Louisville, I know to put it like the marbles in my mouth, but I can't go Louisville.
You ain't from around here.
Louisville. So, Louisville. John and Blake Moore came up and hung out with us, too.
It was so much fun, man.
We also had new people who recently found our club and joined us, as well as a lot of the regulars who we have come to love so much.
Some people were like new into pens, others were hardcore, and there's pizza and beer. Mm-hmm. It's really as good as it gets.
And Doug brought out his Visconti's again.
The only thing we need is like better lighting. So I'm going to bring some like table lamps next
or
time.
Or like soft boxes in the corners or something.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Because we're all like having our iPhones on top of the waters. So we can like have like down lighting, drop lighting.
It was a really fantastic meetup. We actually stayed in. Some of us lingered till midnight.
I think so. Yeah, I think we were there pretty freaking late.
I know it was like midnight because I didn't get home till after midnight.
Yeah. There's so much fun. Having a pen, I never thought the Hoosier Pen Club in Indiana would be that big.
It's huge for like Indiana.
I mean, I think it competes with some other states' pen clubs too. But
I mean, I have no idea, but I love
it. I don't
it.
Live in another state, so I don't know.
Yep. But we actually had a custom designed sticker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you forgot about that, didn't you?
I did forget about it.
So I did this without John's knowing. In anticipation of the Hoosier Pen Club, Matthew and I worked on a sticker. He will say that it was a total 50-50 design thing, but it was mostly him.
It was more like 60-40, probably.
But it is my handwriting in the script.
That's so cool.
So cool.
We have our own logo now.
Yep.
We have our own sticker. We have our own branding.
Yep. So we will go ahead and put the picture of that kick-ass sticker. It's holographic. It was so much fun.
It's like shiny too, right?
That's what holographic means, John.
Is that one of them four-syllable words? Sorry, Matthew rubbed off on me. I listened to the podcast editing it so many times.
Is that one of them four-syllable words?
I can't.
I've never heard of them holographics. What's a holographic?
It's been a long day. Shut up.
Oh, shit. All right, hold on. I gotta add this to our list of shit to put in there. Oh, pick God. Of holographic.
Them shiny stickers.
Sticker.
Oh my God.
But it was fantastic. So yeah, we had a total great time. And that got me to know friend of the show, John Albert.
His pen?
So John Albert is a pen maker who is apparently a super humble pen maker because not enough people know that he makes pens.
Bro, you're super humble because bro. I was just handling your pen and I thought it was not like a custom maker pen.
He thought that I had a new sailor he didn't know existed. So y'all should follow John at J. Albert Lawrence, J-A-L-B-E-R-T-L-A-W-R-E-N-C-E, if you're not already following him. But given that he has 1,700 followers, I assume at least a lot of you are. He is a pen maker. He makes everything. He has piston filler pens that he makes the piston for.
That's so crazy.
He just made a crescent filler that he designed. Everything, cap bands, clips, everything he designs.
Yeah, that's
and,
so cool.
And makes. So I purchased a John Albert pen, and it came yesterday.
That's crazy. It's so good looking.
This week has been a little intense in terms of, like, purchasing, like, things arriving. Because, like, my Kasama came the day after my John Albert custom pen came. It's a little bit extra. It's fine.
Gear acquisition syndrome.
I've been fine with my stuff. I didn't feel like I needed anything more. It just worked out that I got the Kasama and the John Albert pen at the same time, but I was able to snag a vintage tortoise shell cellulose acetate pen with brass accents.
That's super cool. You're not going to have it like dipped in acid and turned to rhodium?
No, it's sorry, not brass. It's bronze. It's
yeah,
beautiful.
But it's basically gold. You hate
no,
that.
It's pink. It's pink. I'm actually ordering it a rose gold
give
nib.
You shit.
I'm going to order her a rose gold nib so she can be even prettier.
I like it. It looks really good. I think this dude, I hope you're listening. You need to quit your job and just do this full time and live in a shack and make pens.
He probably makes more money doing his real job.
I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. Don't take our advice, but please make more pens.
But also, like, send me all your pens.
Yeah, just send them to us. We'll just take care of them for you.
I'll just keep them. It'll be fine.
Speaking of newness and new pens, the new Mont Blanc calligraphy nib pens are out, the 149.
Yeah, so it's a new modern flex that's supposed to be reminiscent of vintage.
But it's not, apparently.
Nothing is going to be vintage flex.
But they want you to think that.
But honestly, from most accounts, it looks pretty good. It looks to be comparable. I mean, as close as you're going to get with a modern nib. But if you really want vintage flex, just get vintage flex.
And save a lot of money.
Maybe. But, I mean, this does look beautiful, I will say. It looks like it takes a fair amount of pressure to create the level of flex people want. But it'll do it.
I mean, who doesn't love a 149, though?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, to have the vintage
really cool.
flex. Now, I asked some friends on the internet for some pictures of their flexing, and I have some that we'll put in the show notes. But as we've mentioned before, Joey Feldman, who is a big collector of the 149, actually has a picture of it comparing it to a 1950s flex.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. I'll have to check that out.
It's in the show notes. You can look.
I don't look at our own show notes, Kat.
I think the big take home is it's pretty good. It takes more effort than a vintage pen to get the flex you want, but it looks beautiful.
How's it compared to like a Falcon nib?
I think I wouldn't be able to tell you. I would assume it's better.
Do you own a Falcon nib yet?
No.
Didn't you buy the 912?
No.
That's right. You're going to.
And then I decided that I don't like soft things.
Hmm.
I like my nibs hard.
Let us sit that there for a second.
As hard as possible. So like my seventh level of hell would be a flex nib.
Yeah.
At least on a pen that expensive. I mean, I have a really nice vintage flex from the 20s that I use, but it's like specifically for when I'm doing calligraphy. But in a day-to-day writer, I like it hard.
So you don't like the gold leaf one?
No. So the calligraphy nib comes on a standard Meisterstück, and then it comes on the gold leaf solitaire, which is like a gold leaf pen. It's not my jam. I just, if it was a silver leaf, I'd be like, yeah, I don't like gold.
It's
I have a problem.
Black clip too. It's kind of cool.
I mean, it is a sexy pen.
I bet it's one of those in person where you're like, okay, I get it.
It's sexy. I just don't like gold.
It's also 1870.
I like
USD.
Gold.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool.
John's getting texted in the middle of his podcast.
No, I'm looking at the show notes.
Oh.
Excuse me.
All right. Well, speaking of the show notes, let's talk about some other stuff. Oh, it's where I said flex versus soft versus hard nibs. I still stand by that. Hard nibs.
I'm all on team soft nibs.
Oh, God. You have a personality defect. I'm just kidding. If you like flex nibs or soft nibs, I love you too. I just don't. I like it really, really hard.
Yeah.
Give it to me hard.
Well, I think it's good to know. Noted.
Duly noted.
Added in the show notes. Cat likes her nibs very hard.
I like it to feel like I'm writing with a nail.
And you don't like ultra extra fine either?
No.
Have you tried one? A needlepoint?
Yes. I don't want to feel like I'm cutting the paper.
But you just said you want a nail.
Well,
do you want?
I want a nail in I want a nail in terms of hardness, but I want it to be like a finer medium. But just hard. I don't like the bouncy. No bouncing. Just John's like turning like 10 shades of pink right now.
Like big, thick, and bouncy here.
I didn't say thick or big.
No, I did.
Oh.
Big, thick lines and a bouncy nib.
Lord. Everybody take a shot because that's definitely what she said.
Oh, my God. So, we're on the struggle bus today. I'm so sorry, but you're right. You're right, kid.
I laughed so hard. Things came out of me.
Oh, my God.
Please cut this out.
Oh, no. It's all staying in. Just keep it rolling, baby. So, hard nibs, soft nibs, flex nibs. Oh, my.
Cute name.
Yeah, I try.
So, now that we've made all of the inappropriate penis jokes that John has had to cut out in editing, there's a bunch of pen shows still coming up for the end of the year. We're not done.
There are pen shows coming up. You can Google pen shows 2019 and see the whole list. There's a ton of them. But the ones we're attending, which are the only pen shows that actually matter.
False. Because well, Colorado looks really rad and we can't go.
I know. I'm moving.
What?
I'm moving. Lemur's moving. Dun, dun, dun.
I didn't know this. The things you find out while recording, you'll have to tell me later.
What?
So the next pen show, which is happening like 3 days after this podcast comes out, is Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
The end of September, I will be attending.
And then the Detroit pen show. It's the first year of the Detroit Pen Show.
And I'm excited for
them. We're driving up for it. The organizer is super cool.
Are you taking Abby?
We are both going. She might be driving separate because of work things, but we're both going. So the show is on October 18th through the 20th. And then no, 2 weeks after that is the Ohio Pen Show.
Mm-hmm. Which you're
which
also
is
attending.
Halloween weekend. Kind of sad I don't get to have a Halloween party. Or go to yours. I'm assuming you have the best Halloween party of all time.
Actually, I'm working.
Okay, well, scratch that. So you're not going. But Ohio's super fun. And for those of you listening, thinking of going to either, and you're like, but I've heard Ohio's a vintage show. I'm not into vintage. That's false. It used to be a vintage show. Now it's just a pen show, and it's a lot of fun. It's sort of like someone called it a high school reunion. Homecoming. Sorry.
Cute.
Because all the pen people go to it. And it's like kind of the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Super fun.
Because it's the last show before Philly in January, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I guess I didn't really think about that.
So.
There's no shows in the winter really after that.
Yeah. So it's like a lull in shows for a minute.
Yeah.
So John will be at Detroit and Ohio, and I will be at Dallas. And if you come up to us and use the secret password, this is not LaCroix, we will give you something. I won't tell you what it is.
Some
but
swag.
It's some swag, some leaky nib swag. So we'll have that for you guys. For now, they will not be things you can buy. You just have to be
You have to find us.
Finding us. You can find us all sorts of different ways, but you have to find us.
There should be code words should change each time.
That's too much work.
It's way too much work. Let's overcomplicate everything.
Let's not do that. You could alternatively use cosmic sushi or space dicks.
All those work. I didn't think space dicks was really, I didn't get it. Everyone's like, space dicks. And I'm like, yeah, that's what we said.
I'm space like, dicks.
Yeah, I get it now.
Anyway, so we're going to round out this episode with a new segment and an old segment. So we are going to add a segment to the end of each show called Back to Basics. And we're going to wrap this sucker up with a character's carry again. So let's talk about our Back to Basics topic this week.
Shorthand is Basic B.
Basic B. So go ahead, John.
Well, so you had a concern the other day I saw on Instagram where you posted about running out of ink and having to refill from a stranger's ink in an alley. And in order for safe pen filling practices, we want to make sure that that doesn't happen because filling out a stranger's ink vials is really not encouraged unless you really know them and trust them. So I would recommend having a travel vial of ink, either the 3 mil, like those 5 mil little vials that seal really well.
Like or, the sample vials?
Yeah. So like people have like traveling ink wells. I don't generally recommend those for traveling in a bag because they are mostly meant to sit on a desk. Mm. If you have one, put it in a plastic bag first and in like a Ziploc, one of those like double sealed Ziplocs.
And then and take it to work.
Try it like that for a couple weeks until you're willing to risk just tossing it in your bag. Mm. But those little 5 mil sample vials mm-hmm. are fantastic, and they do not leak if you have a good one.
So I definitely ran out of ink in 2 or 3 different pens over the last week. And then my Monteverde Engage somehow engaged in my pocket, and the tip came out. And once the tip came out, it like the cloth was touching the tip. Mm. And so an entire converter of ink sort of oozed out onto my leg and onto my scrubs.
What color was it?
Purple.
Oh, cool.
I wear black scrubs, so you couldn't see it on my scrubs, but I still actually have a purple stain on my leg, and it's been a week.
That's very on brand for you, though.
I know, it was purple. But so I ran out of that ink and like 3 other pens of ink while I was at work. So yeah, if you can't have your own bottles of ink at work because you want to have them at home,
or you're afraid of them getting stolen. Like if you can't put them in like a drawer that you don't trust someone ravaging through, or you have a shared desk.
Right. I think that the sample vials idea is actually really smart, and I might just start throwing like a sample vial of like Ackerman 14 because like half of my pens are filled with that in there. That's my other issue is like I ran out of like a pen that was writing with purple, a pen that was writing with black, a pen that was writing with
yeah, you know. It's not like you just write with one color and you're like, oh, I just have this and I can fill all my pens. We're all super extra. And have, you know, and you can't mix it, obviously. That'd be
like the worst
idea. You can't do that.
But I think it's not unreasonable to say, you know, throw a vial of, you know, 1 or 2 of your favorite inks just in case you run out at work.
That's what I do going to pen shows.
I mean, what I did was just used one of my other 10 pens I took to work.
That's also a solution, is just have a shit ton of pens and you'll never, it's very unlikely.
But I was really disappointed because I had done all of my notes for the day in like 2 colors, and then I ran out of one of the colors.
That's
and I had
unacceptable.
To switch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You basically have to go home. Just take FMLA on at that point.
It doesn't work like that. Doctors can't just be like, well, I'm out of ink.
I got to go. I'm
You're
out of
good.
Ink. I'm sorry.
You'll be fine.
Go on diversion. We're fine. We're fine.
That's not okay.
But, you know, a lot of people ask not even about ink, but also just cartridges. Like,
yeah.
I go to school. And they have a backpack and that's it. And they have cartridges in their pen.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, I want to use a converter, but if I run out of ink during taking notes.
Yeah.
You can't really like, hold on a second, take out a vial and like start filling up.
I mean, you could. It wouldn't take that long. But I mean, I get the idea there. If you're really traveling that much, you know, to have cartridges. But in that same vein, if you are taking notes, just have a second pen. If you can.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know.
If you're a college student or you're taking a bunch of notes and you're traveling, a 2-pen system with matching inks is a really good idea.
Yep, I agree. Even if they're both just Metropolitans, like that's a great workhorse of a pen and it fits the Pilot black
cartridges. Or, you know, a Vanishing Point and an 823.
Yeah, sure. You can't put a cartridge in an 823, John.
No, but it you'll never run out of ink in that.
That's fair. That fits like two.
It's a lot of. I've yet to run out of ink in mine.
So I think something I've learned with that is to check my pens before I go to work, like check the night before to make sure they actually have ink in them.
That's not a bad idea.
Which I just realized one of my pens is still empty. Whoops.
How many pens do you have empty at any given time?
Empty or full?
Empty.
Like needing to be full or empty on purpose?
Like empty on purpose.
I have no idea.
Count on one hand?
Oh, I would say probably half of my pens are filled at any one time and half are empty.
Oh, wow. I'm a heathen.
What?
I mean, all mine are inked.
But you don't have as many pens.
No, and they're all demo pens. I guess it's kind of a point.
They're supposed to be.
I guess they're supposed to be inked, but.
Yeah.
What do most people do?
I think people do it all different ways. And I think we can answer the question of pen hygiene on a future episode for Back to
Basics.
But
tell us on Instagram or email.
Of how your many collection, roughly what's the percentage of filled and empty?
Yeah, I really want to know.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting like personality. Like, you know how when you go up to somebody and you say like.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. On Pinder, this is what we'll do. We've talked about this before, having dating app called Pinder. And you're like, one of the field questions is, how many pens do you have inked?
Like, what percentage of your collection is inked?
And you're like, this answer is not acceptable. If someone says, less than 25%, it's like, I can't
know. Some people only keep 10 inked at a time, and they may have a collection of 200 pens.
Oh, I guess it's got to be, like, per capita.
Per percent. It has to be percent or proportion of your total collection.
Yeah, right? But if you have 5,000 pens, that's a shit ton of pens if you have 10% inked.
Right.
So.
Right.
But 10% for me is like 2.
John doesn't have that many pens.
I have 3 pens. No.
You have more than that. I have more than
that. So that's our first Back to Basics, or Basic B, if you will. Let us know how many you have inked. And next week we'll answer, or next episode we will.
Talk about another basic.
Back to Basics conversation point.
Yep. That's I think this is fun because, there's going to be some people who listen who are newer to fountain pens and may.
I mean, I don't even know. Like, I'm asking questions and I own a pen store. I'm like, how many pens do you have inked? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm curious to know these.
This isn't unreasonable at all to ask.
No, I think it's super cool. So I love that. And then I want to finish this guy up with both of our favorite segment, which is Characters
dun,
Carry.
Dun, dun.
This week on Characters Carry Fountain Pens, we're talking about Marty McFly and Doc Brown. Mm. Oh, yeah.
This is why we're friends.
I put this in the show notes yesterday, and John gets in there today and just types, yes.
I'm so happy. I loved this movie as a kid growing up.
I still love this movie.
I still love it.
We're talking about Back to the Future, if y'all don't know.
I don't think Abby's seen all of them.
What? Abby,
it's great.
Girl.
I get to show her movies for the first time, and it's like having a kid. You're like, I know, I get to share the experience with you.
Amazing.
It's great. It's great. So
let's start with Marty McFly. I have my answers for both of them.
There are more than just two answers, by the way. Okay. Because what time period are we talking about?
So in my opinion, like, you're just talking about, like, Marty McFly in the 80s, Doc Brown in the 80s, like, original time before they go back.
Right.
Like, what would they be carrying? Because, like, they accidentally get whisked away to these other, whatever. They're not going to pack a fountain pen for their intergalactic travel to the 1800s. Fountain pens
Girl,
didn't
you were
exist
way out of line.
Back then.
You're way out of line. He packed underwear with him. He forgot plutonium, but he would totally remember his pen, which would be a what?
Okay, so Doc Brown, in my opinion, uses, like, only demonstrators.
Really?
Yeah, clear demonstrators.
I'm surprised.
Look at the freaking way that the DeLorean looks.
Stainless steel.
Yes, but it's like got all of that like shit on top that's like super cool, and you can see all the coolants running around and all that.
Oh, and he did buy a DeLorean because he's like, if you're going to travel in time, you might as well have something cool.
Right. And so in my opinion, he likes to see those inner workings. That's why he put all that fuel system on top with all the shit coming out of it and all the pipes running around and the coolants and everything.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I think he would only carry super nerdy demonstrators, clear demonstrators, and specifically, although it didn't exist in 1985, if he could get his hands on it when he traveled to the future and bring it back to 85, he would have the Pelican M800 limited edition etched model.
Oh, yeah, that
the
one.
The one that's labeled that nib one. Piston.
Or like a Conid, maybe.
Oh!
Yeah.
I could see him carrying a coded minimalistica.
That's false because it didn't exist then. So in 1985, he would have a...
Something, a demonstrator.
No, I think he'd have something really flashy and like coke heavy. Because the DeLorean was like super cokey car in the 1980s.
So my problem is I don't know 1980s pens. So I'm just saying like either. Based on Mont Blanc, pens that probably. Exist now.
Yeah.
Like that's the pen he would carry.
We need to define our terms on this game.
So I think that on this game, you just say like of all the pens that exist.
Right now,
what would that character carry? Like regardless of what time period they
exist
in. I think
a Pelican is good for Doc Brown though, in general.
Right?
Like a full-size Pelican.
But a demo. I think he has to have a demonstrator.
Blue, black ink.
I could also see him having like bright red.
Or bright red.
Like
yeah,
that Aukerman number 28, I think.
Okay, what about Marty?
So I thought about this, and I think he would have a retro 51.
I don't hate it.
Because they're, like, trendy, and, like, he could get whatever, like, he, you know, cool designs he wanted.
So he was in a band.
Yeah.
A bad high school rock band.
Right.
Liked rock and roll. He was very cool but uncool at the same time.
Like, think how cool, like, he could just slick that little, you know, retro 51 into his pocket of his red vest.
Yeah, I'd have, like, a theme.
He would have, like, a couple, like, you
know. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right.
Different themed ones, and he'd slide them in. And they're price point that are, like, approachable for, like, a kid his age.
Yeah. I like it.
I said retro 51.
I like it. The fan is attacked. Fan death. He's got attacked by the fan.
Oh, my God. What do you think? What do you think Marty McFly would carry?
I don't. I think we agree on Doc Brown. I mean, I don't know my 80s pens that well, but like maybe a Parker Jotter, which is always the default answer we have for every character in the
80s. That's why I'm saying, like, since I don't know 80s pens specifically, I think, like, I'm just going to know what I know about pens and assign them a pen based.
I don't know. He's pretty rock and roll. I would say, like, either a retro or maybe, like, a Twisby Eco. So they both would have demonstrators, but one would be less expensive.
Yeah.
And
more
for, like,
affordable.
More affordable. And then Doc would have, like, the fucking Conid that he's, like, supercharged and made this, like, weird ink filler system that no one else has.
Yeah.
Here's the surprise question, though. What would Biff have?
Damn it. I didn't think about Biff.
And like evil Biff. Well, he was always evil, but like in the alternate
Not
1985.
Dumb Biff, but like evil Biff?
Evil Biff.
Hmm.
It's gold, first of all.
I mean, it has gold hardware, whatever he has. I actually think he might rock, like, it's going to be bigger. Like, 3070-76 isn't big enough.
No.
He would have like a big pen, like, maybe a 149.
Pen for men.
The pen for men.
He would.
He would have a Parker pen.
Was,
Schaefer pen for men.
Sorry. I always keep saying that. It's sorry. Schaefer pen for men.
And I'm going to have to get one of those now, by the way.
We all need them. He would have it because his old man,
Biff,
would give it to him in the 50s. And be like, if anyone ever comes around, some crazy old man, a scientist, and asks about anything. And he's got like, here's the pen for men. We should edit that movie, but insert instead of that one collector's book, it's just a Parker or it's a Schaefer pen for men.
Yeah. I'm not mad about that. I also think I think he would just have like a big pen with gold hardware.
Totally. Totally. Mm-hmm.
And it would be, I think it would actually be an expensive pen because he likes to like.
Yeah.
Show off, I guess, status wise or something.
He's the definition of trash. Yes.
But people who use Mont Blancs and pen for men are not trash. Just Biff.
Just Biff. No, I mean, you know, you can like a Mont Blanc.
When, I like a Mont Blanc.
I do too. There's probably a lot of evil dictators around the world who use them, and that doesn't mean we're also evil dictators. But I kind of like knowing that. It's kind of comforting to me.
I love that you felt the need to ask what Biff's pen would be.
I love Biff. He's
like prepared
best.
For Marty McFly and for Doc Brown.
Oh no!
I love it. No. I love it so much.
I just love Biff with like his like chest hair, and they're in the hot tub, and they're like fighting in that hotel.
I love you.
That's such a great movie. I'm going to rewatch it so soon.
I know. I'm going to go home and
can't wait.
We have like a few like characters carry ideas for the next episodes. And it's kind of made me want to get rewatching some of these films. Because I'm like, dang.
I
need to watch this again and see. So if you guys have any ideas for characters, like from movies, TV shows, or books that you want to hear us talk about what we think they would carry for fountain pens, please let us know. We're kind of collecting an ongoing list of characters' carries ideas. So I actually really love this segment. So
it's so much fun. I think here's kind of the trick question, though, which is what would 1885 Doc Brown have?
He wouldn't be an idiot, and he wouldn't take a fountain pen with him.
But when he had his like blacksmith shop back then, he would make a pen. That's the answer, really. Sorry.
He would just make his pen.
He'd make his own pen, but it'd be like a modern-ish pen for like the 1980s, but in 1885, so it'd have like all these terrible materials.
Yeah.
Like blacksmithing it.
He'd
massive.
Have to like figure out how to do a tipping material. I just think he would just use a quill.
No. You clearly need to rewatch these. You don't know them very well.
You're probably right. I haven't seen them in like probably at least 10 years, so.
Oh, they're so fun.
I've seen the original, but I haven't seen like the second and third ones in like 10 years.
They're pretty bad, but also great.
I mean, I've wanted a DeLorean since I could talk, so.
They're cheap, man. You can get one. We can make this happen.
The problem is the doors, that's the problem is the doors don't.
Doors like this? Not like this?
The doors don't, that's what faults on the doors is the hydraulic system fails.
They're
and
fine.
That's why they're cheap.
No. Well, they're also hunks of shit. That's why they're so damn cheap.
That's why I'm buying a Tesla is because I need the
doors. There's guys converting them to electric, though.
I just am going to buy a Tesla with doors that do the DeLorean.
This? Have you seen Silicon Valley? Anyone who's seen Silicon Valley is laughing because they're like doors like this. Not like this, but like this or this. You got to put your arms up like a bat.
Hold on. Wait.
No. You're not getting
do
a photo
it again.
Of that.
Do it again. So thanks for hanging out with us. It's been a super fun time. We really had a great time hanging out with you guys. Go ahead and follow The Leaky Nib on Instagram, at The Leaky Nib.
And you can follow me at Lemur Inc., LEMURINK, and check out my website, lemurinc.com, for all your fountain pen needs.
And you can follow me on Instagram at InkyCatWrites. Find me at Dallas, John at Detroit, and Ohio. We will be packing some swag. And we'd love to see you. So, thank you.
The code word again is. All right.
Also, space dicks.
Or cosmic sushi.
Thanks for a fun week, you guys. We'll see you. We'll see you later. Okay.
Have an excellent week.
Bye. Goodbye.
Doors like this, or this, not like this, like this.
'Save that just for you.
For the end.